Donai Castle. I'll use the universal greeting.
Universal greeting?
Watch, I'll have him eating out of my hand. Ba weep grana weep ninny bun.
Ba weep grana weep ninny bun.
Ba weep grana weep ninny bun.
See, the universal greeting works every time. Not without making any sudden moves. Offer them an energon goodie.
This is getting expensive.
Don't worry, they'll reciprocate.
I thought they were supposed to reciprocate. No more.
Empty.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Pop Culture Rewind. I am your host Travis.
And I'm Chris.
And hey everyone, and I guess on this particular episode I should say, Ba Weep Grana Weep
Mini Bon. Yes. Yeah, hey, I remember that.
So this episode, we just thought that it would be cool to...
Reminisce.
We just had an opportunity to check out the 1986 classic Transformers the Movie. Mm-hmm. It was recently released for one night only, one showing only.
One night only.
Yeah. And when we heard about this going on sale, I kind of like
half-assed. Your ears perked up a little.
It perked up a little bit, but I half-assed like texted you. I was like, hey, you, September 27th, what are you doing?
Yeah, it's not all the time that Travis asked me out.
Yeah.
So I like I made sure that I...
What?
I,
you want to go out? Him. Okay.
Yeah. So
you mean out of your house?
So that day, I don't even think it was available to the general public, but me, being who the hell I am, went in person to the theater and got us a pair of like the best seats in the house.
So, okay, so here's... We were texting back and forth, and this is the day that it was announced... That it was coming in. It was one of those Fathom events.
Yeah.
And if you've never been to a Fathom event, I'm sure if you've been to the movie theaters the last couple of years, you see these advertisements for Fathom events. It's like special screenings of like...
Usually concerts. It's opera.
Yeah, it's opera, concerts, MMA stuff. Mm-hmm. It's just... Or old-time movies.
$60 per person for a boxing fight.
Yeah, fuck that. No, I ain't. No. But and usually with the Fathom events, they have like special features. Like case in point... Last year, I did my very first Fathom event. It was the Doctor Who Christmas special from last year. And
it was your gift to Nancy. You took Nancy.
I believe so. Yes, we went there. We went to that Cinemark over off of the one you showed me to.
Yeah.
We went there, and the cool thing about that is, like, before the movie starts, they have little trivia. I say trivia with quotations. It's not really trivia if you know the topic that you're in.
Mm-hmm.
It's very... The wrong answers are more funnier than...
Oh, yeah.
So they have the trivia stuff going on before there. Before the movie starts, they have a little featurette, or in this case, we had a trailer we'll get to here in just a second. And then after the movie, there's another featurette. So you get a little extra bang for your buck other than just watching the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought it was cool to point that out, that what it was that we're actually seeing is the Fathom event. So anyway, Fathom announced it was going on sale that Friday that we heard about it. And I just went on Fandango or one of the websites, and I saw that there were listings for it at which theaters, and there was a Cinemark down the road from both of us. And I said, why don't we check that out? See, and you were like that day.
Because my new job location is like maybe 5 minutes away, so I figured, what the hell?
What the hell, right? Sure enough, you were able to go there. It was already in their system.
No fuss, seats, no muss.
No seats were already taken.
I got the first two seats.
And you're probably thinking, great, it's a little old 80s cartoon movie. Big deal.
Which was released on DVD and Blu-ray and digital like maybe 6 months ago.
Yeah,
so it's already been out. Even this new version has been out in the wild.
And I'll get to something about that later on.
Mm-hmm.
But, you got the first seats, but it was a little movie or whatever. But we say that after all the notices went out and people started finding out about it, those seats started filling up quick to the point... They actually, about a month later, they announced 300 additional theaters were going to be doing the screening
around
for
the country. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And sure enough, the day of or the day before, I pulled up the art theater that we're in. There was maybe like a handful of seats.
Three
like,
or four loose seats.
Yeah, on the edges, you know, in the front row.
Yeah,
no,
it was packed. It was sold out.
Yeah. And Yeah, it was just cool being there. And it's kind of cool to see the other people, too, because it wasn't just, like, nerds like us in our 30s or whatever, but it was just also, like, well, people in their 30s, but they also had kids. They had their kids, and they were bringing their family. You know, it was, like, a generational thing.
Yeah.
And that was kind of a cool thing to see it being
transitioned down to the generation.
Yeah.
That was one of the very few moments where my human side's about to come out, where I was like, man... If I wouldn't have brought my nephews, I wish I would have had some kids. Had some kids so I could, like, brainwash them into this, like, in Transformers.
Yeah, you gotta start.
Young.
Yeah. Know the roots, son.
Yeah, I know when they get older, they'll give me, like, a huge-ass Devastator for Christmas.
Yeah. Another one.
Oh, Dad. Yeah.
So, okay, that kind of led up to it. So let's say we get there. And did you know about the little freebie?
No,
you just want to whim. Just
no, go. I saw. So we weren't the first ones there. We got there early, mind you. You learned your lesson from Deadpool 2.
Yeah,
we met up early. We got to the theater and we saw a couple of guys that were at the front desk where we were giving up our tickets. And I saw them with posters in their hands. Like, ah, this is where my loud voice will come in handy. I walk up to the desk and I said, "Hey, can I have what they're having?" And sure enough, they broke out a pair of the poster for that, which is basically the cover of the DVD, which is the main cover of everything.
Nice artwork. I love it's vibrant. It's
bright.
It's
pretty.
And just the dynamic of it. You have Optimus and Hot Rod on the front center. Mm-hmm. You have Unicron in the background, and on one side you have all the old school Decepticons, and on the other side you have all the new school Decepticons from this movie. So, yeah. Pretty cool. And little 12x18 poster, you know, just it looks nice hung up. So,
oh yeah, it looks good on my wall.
Yeah. So, all right. So the actual movie itself. So we get there, and the movie starts.
We get there, and the trivia is like five questions that are on repeat.
Right, right, right.
So they lane the leader Dinomots. I'm gonna go with Optimus Rex for 500.
Yeah, like I said, the trivia wasn't really. If you have vague knowledge of Transformers, you can figure these answers out. So there's that. Okay, so when the movie actually started, before it, we have a exclusive sneak peek of the new Bumblebee movie coming out.
Just the trailer. We actually got a full-fledged scene. This is the original scene where Charlie, the girl, which I already like because she's wearing a Motorhead shirt.
Yeah.
She figures out, she thinks something's wrong with the car. She looks under the car and she realizes it's a Transformer. And classic, the line Bumblebee points at her, or what it looked like, he pointed at her shirt, and she goes, "You like metal?"
Yeah.
I'm already in love with this movie.
That scene, dude, like, no joke. Just the, I guess, the emotion that they have already captured.
The bond.
Just in that one scene, I was like, dude, forget the trailer that we did not talk about yet, that we can talk. Did we talk about that trailer in the last episode?
No.
We didn't, because it came out the day of they released it. We'll get it here in just a second. But the emotion that they captured in that one full scene that we saw, dude, they got me. Yeah. They got me in this movie.
And then we got an HD view of the full-fledged trailer, which, from all intents and purposes, could just be a flashback scene from Cybertron. But we have Soundwave in all of its tape deck glory. The Seekers, Shockwave. Optimus Prime.
Old school Optimus.
Yeah.
So,
it only took 16 years.
11, but whatever. 11, yeah. But, maybe at the end of this, we'll dive back into that little trailer. But after that little sneak peek, we get back into the movie. Straight up, this is, from beginning to end, the classic edition of this movie. Yeah. And even from the little... Is it a DE Egg or DEG for DeLorenitis Entertainment Group, I think. But yeah, the little spinning lion logo thing. And then right into the Sunbow Marvel logo. And then bam, we're into the movie. Now, we were debating before doing this episode about reviewing the actual movie. We're not going to do that this time because it's... if you're listening to this, you've probably already seen the movie.
32 years old, people.
Yeah. So, but also on top of that, me and Xavier have done a full length running commentary review of this movie. It's not even arguably; it is our most watched episode that we've ever done. I think on YouTube right now, if you go do a search on YouTube for Pop Culture Rewind, go down. It's one of our earliest videos we did. It's at 68,000 views right now.
Really?
68,000.
Really?
Right. Yeah. So easily.
Wow.
What happened? It's a funny story about that because it's all copy. I put the video with us talking over it, and I uploaded it on YouTube. Full copyrighted shit. Like, there's no reason I should not get a lawsuit. But what Hasbro did was, for the copyrighted stuff, they're like, we're not going to block it, but we're going to monetize it for us.
Oh, so they got the back end.
They get the back end, but we get the views.
Okay.
So it's like, I don't need the money for it. I don't care. It's
a hobby. It's just shooting the shit.
It'd be nice, but yeah. I understand I don't own the shit.
Yeah.
So they get an ad for it. And matter of fact, for a while there, they actually had that video on their suggested.
Wow.
So, yeah.
No wonder this show's still kicking.
We do have audio version also in the archives. If you just want to, it's an audio. If you want to go
off of muscle memory.
Yeah. But if you just want to watch it with us talking over it, it is on YouTube. So that's why I was like, I don't want to.
Don't rock the boat. You've already done enough.
Yeah. We've been there.
You
done
rebel.
That. Hey, by the way, I did that for G.I. Joe the movie also. And they did a little bit. They kind of did the same thing on that one too.
Okay,
but
cool.
Not as many. I think it's like a thousand something views, or that's maybe it might be more than that too. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that's why we're not. We're just kind of hitting high points
there.
On this one.
It's been there, yeah. Done that.
Yeah. So
our movie theater. You've complained to the theater that's closest to your house that they're very like rude.
The people are idiots.
Yeah, gelatinous tapeworms. They don't know when to shut up. This room. I guess we all knew what we were there for.
Yeah, it's
we
a
just needed chance. We just needed that nostalgia fix. Yeah. So there was maybe two or three moments where I heard people actually like reminded myself that there's people here that are alive.
Right.
Because it was like stone quiet.
Yeah,
I heard people laughing when Starscream kicked Megatron in the stomach.
Mm.
I heard a lot of sniffles still 32 years later when Optimus turns charcoal gunmetal. And like cocks his head to the side.
Spoiler alert.
And Optimus dies.
Yeah.
And then the scene where Hot Rod turns into full-fledged Rodimus after opening the Matrix of Leadership. But other than that, everybody just like, especially when you're in those comfortable reclining seats, you're just sitting there chilling, soaking it all up.
Yeah.
Other than one scene in the beginning of the movie where Hot Rod's fishing, I think even in my digital copy that I have bought from iTunes. There is that kind of 2 seconds of should I be wearing 3D glasses?
Yeah, there's a couple of scenes like that, and that's what I kind of want to touch on about the video aspect of it and the quality of the picture. I've all these years I've been used to seeing it on my TV screen, you know, and it's when it's a smaller screen, it's easily palatable. It's more condensed and more sharp, you know. But once you get it on the big screen, it's not as sharp anymore.
It's a big blur.
It's a little bit more blurry, but I appreciated it. You know, I didn't need it to be like fine tuned and sharp and clean and everything. I liked it. But see what it is on this one. That to your point, that little glitch with the scene with Hot Rod, it was like smeared almost like 3D. If you take your 3D glasses off, it's kind of like that. It was for a split second. There was another scene when Unicron was changing up all the Decepticons.
Yeah.
Not Megatron to Galvatron, but the minions.
Yes.
That little shot of all of them, and like that was kind of blurry like that, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized, basically, what this is the exact same copy that came out like 6 or 7 months ago with that same cover that we got the poster of.
Mm, exactly.
So that's all it was. It was a DVD version of the Blu-ray.
But you're just getting the entire feel of actually
being in the theater,
other stinky people with popcorn in your hand and reclining chairs.
Yeah, but other than that...
And the surround sound. Good Lord. I mean, my surround sound at home is like dipshit compared to a real theater.
Right.
So it felt good to actually have the entire experience.
Yeah, the little accoutrements.
Yeah.
Going back to the audio real quick... on the audio side of things, the surround sound was good, but hearing it like that over the years, I've kind of grown more fond of the soundtrack and the score, not more so than the movie, but just as much as the movie. Mm-hmm. So hell, I was playing it
On the way up
on
there.
On the way up there, you know, because that's... Nerd. That's, yeah.
Nerd!
Dude, I'm doing a podcast about watching Transformers. So, yeah. Yeah, so when I'm hearing this, and it just reminds me of, you know, back in the 80s when sometimes the soundtracks were just as important a part of the movie.
T-U-R-T-L-E, power to you.
Yeah. But, like, I don't know if you've ever seen a heavy metal.
Yes!
Where the songs are, like, instrumental mm-hmm. to the what you're seeing on screen to the point where it's kind of like this, mm-hmm. where the music was so loud and so...
It fit
perfectly in with what they're doing. And I've listened to the score so much over the years. Like, it's like second nature to me when I'm hearing it. Mm-hmm. So it was just kind of cool just seeing it all on the big screen all together mm-hmm. in an audience, with an audience.
Yeah.
So there's that. And then you mentioned a couple of scenes. I posted this question on one of the groups I'm in on Facebook. Because I said one of the biggest reactions that I recall hearing when I was there was the very first line in the movie, it is the year 2005. I already heard people like snickering and laughing at that line. And yeah, it doesn't date very well.
We weren't supposed to live this long, people.
The robot overlords are supposed to come and take us out.
Yeah, yeah. Trump's kind of pushing us back along into the timeline.
And then... that one was a big one that I heard. And then also, yeah, Starscream kicking Megatron when he's down. that got a good laugh. But I asked that question online, and some of the other ones were, I still function, you want to bet? And he throws him out the...
the Astro Train.
Yeah, that got a big laugh.
Starscream!
One guy said, when Prime said Megatron must be stopped no matter the cost, they said in that theater, people got up and cheered wow. for that one.
Where were we at that theater? What
I know, was, right?
Shit.
Someone else says Starscream's kick. someone else agreed with me with my comments, and then when Spike said shit, yeah. Controversial the original mm-hmm. screening on that one. And then one person said that when Galvatron has his hands around Hot Rod's throat, there was a kid weeping.
But generational, I heard a couple of the kids behind me asking, what happened to Optimus?
Did they?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I think like you were sitting closer to some kids or a family next to you, right?
Yeah.
So, I didn't hear all that, but yeah.
That's a fun conversation for a parent to have with their kids.
This 2018, you know how much crap they see nowadays? I can't imagine this is nothing. Now, Optimus Prime's death is one thing. Let's not forget Prowl. Prowl had a vicious death scene in that movie. So did Ironhide, too, if you think about it.
And Wheeljack, too. They, like, carried the corpse of Wheeljack around.
Yeah, that was so bad. All you got to see is the corpse. that's all you got to see on that one.
They're all gray. Did they run out of color? No, they're dead.
you know what? I got another reaction. Was when the Dinobots went down to attack Devastator, and Devastator did the double axe handle onto Sludge. Yeah. And his eyes, like, popped up out of the head. That was purposely drawn like that, purposely animated to be more a comedic effect. Yeah. But, yeah, it got people's, like, it got some laughs from around the where we're sitting. So,
when they broke into the well to save Hot Rod and Cup, mm-hmm. and they smashed the door down, and then Snarl? Excuse me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Slag.
Slag, yeah.
Yeah, that got a couple of chucks out of there. Was there one particular scene or moment that just made it worthwhile to go back and watch it on the screen?
Oh my God! From the moment that, again, it goes back to the sound, hearing the original the Transformers the metal theme song, in that 10.8 in that surround sound, like, man, this is worth it. Yeah,
yeah, just the whole presentation, pretty much, right? Yeah, I think for me, hearing. Just seeing all
I was a kid that saw this on VHS.
Yeah,
years after it was released in the theater.
Right.
I never got the movie going experience. This fulfilled childhood me.
32 years in the making.
Yeah,
I think for me, maybe just the stuff with Hot Rod, especially that first time you see him transform.
Yeah.
Just something about the animation, the way it's styled and everything. Mm-hmm. That was really cool. Just hearing the big battle, Autobots and Decepticon battle at the mm-hmm. beginning of the movie. Hearing the touch play with Optimus driving around.
In first person.
Yeah.
Like you're seeing him
knocking all the Decepticons out, and then the tires blowing out and him transforming, and mm-hmm. yeah. And then the lines between him and Megatron and everything. So yeah, that whole scene right there, I think that's obviously still holds up to me.
Not to mention it holds up to me in a different light because I want to say it was War for Cybertron, the first game that came out on 360. For the promotion of that game, they actually recreated that scene in the video game with Optimus Prime in truck mode from first-person view running over to something and then transforming in midair and fire. And so it like everything came full circle watching that movie.
Well, it's so iconic, that whole moment of him saving the day and everything and then the whole battle and everything. So, yeah, it's a pretty important moment, I guess, in Transformer history.
Good movie. Quick.
Yeah.
It was an hour, 10 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Felt like it could have been three episodes because they had
the breaks.
The breaks. Yeah. If they were going to air it on TV, which they probably have.
Well, that was one of the reasons. That's a week's worth of syndication right there. Just bam, 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 you know. Because I know they did that with G.I. Joe, the movie, too. Because I remember, because on that one, they had Sergeant Slaughter, live action Sergeant Slaughter, hosting and doing the commercial breaks in the intros and outros.
You had to have shown that on TV at some point because at the end of season two, you still have Optimus Prime as the leader. By the beginning of season three, it's Rodimus.
Well, it's
the new group, and it's Galvatron. So if you didn't watch that movie, you're as a kid, you're like,
what happened?
What the fuck is going on here?
There was just a cool feeling. Oh, so we get through the movie. And there was another featurette after the movie, another little bonus just for the Fathom Events thing. It was a little interview, I guess, with a featurette, I guess, it would be a featurette on DVD,
mm-hmm.
But with Stan Bush, the guy who sung The Touch and Dare,
mm-hmm.
And he was talking about how those songs came to be. Like, The Touch was supposed to be in, not Cobra, but Over the Top. One of those. I think Over the Top. I can't remember what movie you said. It was a Stallone movie. But anyway, it was supposed to be for Transformers. I think it was for Cobra. But anyway.
Cobra.
So they said, okay, we'll do it for this, I guess. And that's when I'm glad it did. I mean, it worked out perfectly. And he was kind of talking about how he came up with the song and everything. And then
he originally did not write the lyrics to Dare. Somebody gave him the lyrics to Dare.
Vince DiCola, who did the score.
Yeah.
He wrote it. And Stan Bush sung it.
Did they make it clear if Stan Bush came up with the instrumentals or everything, or if Vince DiCapola orchestrated the entire song and then just gave it to Stan?
All he said was Vince DiCapola just he wrote it.
Okay.
I would imagine there would be some kind of collaboration, more than I would think. But what we get on this featurette is a little acoustic
performance
from both those songs, which. And it's kind of jarring at first. I'm not gonna lie. I kind of snickered a few times because when he's talking about it, it's a studio set. Like there's like pictures and shit
indoors.
Behind him. It's indoors, and he looks, you know, groomed up and everything. But then it cuts right after he got talking of him playing it
in the backyard of an Outback Steakhouse.
It's weird. It's like it's an outdoor setting, but there's like a wooden thing behind him. You can see people walking behind him. And he's like singing it. He's got these big aviators on, and his hair's all disheveled.
He's
and
Frenching the microphone for
half
of it.
He's like eating that fucking microphone, man. I don't know what's going on, but he's so it's. I had a laugh, but you really appreciated that.
I'm a huge music guy, so I have like acoustic versions and live versions of a whole bunch of shit.
Yeah,
I'm actually have been looking the last couple of days since we saw this to see if I can actually buy them.
Yeah,
or if he's inclined enough, if the reception's positive enough, for him to go in a studio and record acoustic versions of him by himself. Because up until the point where he like halfway through Dare, it looked like he was playing it out of fun, like as a joke. Like it was supposed to be like, I don't know what the word is I'm looking for. But
just riffing, maybe.
Yeah, but if he would have done it in earnest and gone to the studio and recorded them with the bridge and everything for both songs, I think they would come out really good. I appreciated them a lot.
Yeah, it's like you could tell in the when it was filmed, like he was just having fun for the five people that were watching him play or something, because you heard a smattering of a few claps after the songs, but it was just weird. But yeah, to your point, it was different hearing in that version,
like Deadpool 2. There's a acoustic version of "Take on Me" from Aha that they actually did during an overseas episode of MTV Unplugged, and it sounds completely different.
Oh, yeah.
But I appreciate it in a whole different way. And that's what I feel about these acoustic versions of the Stan Bush songs. I know he released an album a couple of years ago, and he did like a weird updated version of The Touch, where it's supposed to sound like Nine Inch Nails meets Marilyn Manson.
Ew.
It's weird, but it's different.
Yeah.
If he would go to a studio and record these acoustically, just the way that they were performed on the featurette and finished, like all the way through, I'd be all over them.
Okay.
I guess I just gave you homework. You're going to go YouTube it and Google it and see if you can hear this.
Well, I'm just thinking Nine Inch Nails and Marilyn Manson is kind of the same thing.
Well.
So man, that's pretty much it for the presentation of it. We were leaving, and we just, for shits and giggles, we walked over to the counter where they had the posters.
Can I get another one?
No, we didn't act like we didn't have one, because
we put them in the car before we went. We shouldn't be saying this.
Yeah, screw it. We've already done it.
But we double dipped.
Yeah.
And they let us get away with our double dippage.
Yeah. I might, you know, and after the fact, just for kicks, like the next day, I went on eBay.
Of course. It's 2018. That's what people do. Anything to get a buck.
Man, those posters are already going, man. They're for some money. So I'm thinking about throwing that second one up.
Mind you, they were all folded in the middle, sharply.
Yeah.
With the outside.
Right.
So, like, some of that. You're going to see a white line eventually in some of these posters. Mm. Nah, I'll give you $30 plus shipping.
Yeah.
Bitch, give me your money.
All right. So, let's say on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you give this?
Oh, my God. This is like a 27.5. We ranked the Michael Bay movies in the beginning of the podcast. We prefaced. It had such high, big shoes to fill, because we hold this animated movie from the 80s as like top tier, top shelf, next level.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if any of the movies that have come out have come close to it. I didn't bite my tongue when I said this either. When that preview finished, when we left the theater, I was like, man, Bumblebee's got a chance of being up there.
Yeah.
As far as
I'm with
close
you
to
one,
close to with the.
Unless. Okay. So. I think that's it for the movie. I'm going to say, yeah, obviously for me, it's 10 out of 10. You know, it's
nostalgia factor,
gonna,
animation.
It's me. If you know me, it's a 10 for you.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's it for that. So let's talk a little bit about this Bumblebee movie, shall we? I think it all kind of fits in with this. So this trailer that dropped, the big expansive trailer that had... It's more of the story between Charlie and Bumblebee. They get more scenes of that. But then also we get clips of... which is, we thought was supposed to be Starscream, but it's actually Blitzwing in the movie.
Ah, they're still fooling me.
They're still fooling me. And that's a Bayism. I don't like those Bayisms.
Mm-hmm.
But so we get him fighting Bumblebee, and then we see there's memory. I guess he lost his memories or something. And then we get the reveal... There's like a message or something from Optimus.
Yeah.
And we see...
Save me, Obi-Wan. You're my only hope.
Pretty much. It's pretty much what it is. So there's a hologram or something of Optimus that pops up. Old school 80s Optimus. And you're talking about the war going on. And then we get clips. And these clips of Cybertron. And we see an old school Cybertron. It's not like what we saw in the previous Michael Bay films.
No.
This is if you take the screenshot of the Cybertron, it looks like the animated series from the 80s Cybertron. Mm-hmm. And then we get more scenes on Cybertron. We get Shockwave. We get the Seekers. We get Optimus. We get Soundwave.
We get
with Ravage. We get the
So far, that motherfucker had more than one tape.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So I'm assuming one of two things. On this movie, because this wasn't there wasn't a big budget for this movie.
No.
So I'm assuming one of two things. One, this is stuff made for the trailer.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of that now.
Yeah.
In the last couple of years, they
Marvel.
Pulled us. Yeah.
So bitches. And also there's it's probably a quick maybe
flashback
or opening montage or something, and it's gonna be at the end of that, which I'm okay with.
Cybertron, year 2005. go back in time, look like an old beat up beetle.
Yeah. So, okay, so the actual Bumblebee itself, and the reason we're talking about this is because it is in the 80s. It is more reminiscent of the feel, nostalgic of that time frame. Bumblebee looks different. He's more rounded, more curvy, like a beetle would be. Mm-hmm. To your point, it's more... they put the fun back in it, I think. In a lot of the Michael Bay films after the first one, they sucked all the fun out of it, and it just became battle, 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 kill, kill, kill. That's...
For the guys...
Fart jokes.
It's fun. The last scene in that trailer, for girls, again, because it's a girl lead, it's cute. Bumblebee tries to fit his head through the doggy door. The door falls over. He's bouncing off the walls. He sits on the couch all timid. Then the couch breaks. Everybody's going to be fawning over this.
They're doing a perfect, a boy and his dog story, or a boy finds, or a kid finds whatever, and they bond over meeting, you know.
This is a girl version of Iron Giant, almost.
E.T., anything. Yeah. You know, something to where... that was a big trope in the 80s of the kid star, the movie.
Makes friends with something unaware.
Yeah. And they bond over whatever things. If they are able to harness that emotion that I saw in that one scene. This is what you asked earlier. This is going to be up there, I think. So the dark cloud that's over this Bumblebee thing is the fact that, is it tied to the Bayverse? I would think it is, because it's the face of Bumblebee. It's reminiscent of the Bumblebee that we see in all the other movies. And he's got the robot voice thing. He can't talk or whatever. So is this going to be a prequel to a dead franchise, or is this going to be the gateway to a new timeline?
This feels like the Nicorette patch.
Yeah,
you go cold turkey, you're gonna die. This is the in between before the next movie. Like this is kind of the death of the old franchise, but the rebirth of the new franchise, and this is the spot in the middle. And then the next one afterwards.
So,
because we're supposed to get like an origin story of Optimus or Megatron.
Well,
this is
way, because I was playing way ahead. Assuming
the trilogy's dead, and we're not getting part six to figure out what that horn was that was sticking out of Earth. Unicorn. At the end of number five.
Yeah.
Like, where do we go?
That got taken off the timetable. That was slated for next year, I think. And they took that off that's gone. So
And this is coming out at the end of the year, so I'm assuming there's nothing coming for 2019.
Oh no.
The next movie's 2020.
At least.
Yeah.
But my thing is, can they do a X-Men Days of Future Past and reset
the timeline in the timeline?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somehow do something to that extent. Yeah. I'm sure they can figure something out. But if this movie does so well, but you have to tie it into all those other movies. I don't know, man.
Define well.
More reminiscent of classic 80s storytelling with emotion, with humor.
That's us as marks. That's us as fans that are still clutching to our old 86 Optimus Transformers. Business. What do you define as well?
Money-wise?
Well enough to keep this going in this direction this group. Because apparently John Cena's got, a four movie deal? Five movie deal?
With this? No.
That he's supposed to be...
Oh, that's right.
He's supposed to be...
Like the Nick Fury. He's like the Nick Fury of all these movies. Yeah. So if he does have something like that, then I would say this is a kind of a gateway to a new timeline.
Mm-hmm.
Because he wasn't around in these other movies. Now,
he's like the Josh Duhamel of the first four movies.
Counterpoint is, if you want to really just, say fuck the continuity, this is in the 80s. You can do a whole movie.
Start from scratch.
Just do everything in the 80s. Mm-hmm. We know that doesn't happen in the Michael Bay movies, but if we're going to...
Gonna scrap it. Scrap it. Yeah.
Yeah. Why not? Right. So, anyway, I figured that was a nice time to touch on that little trailer that was just dropped. So I'm looking forward to it, dude. I haven't been this psyched for an actual Transformers movie in a fucking while. Like, I can't remember the last Transformers movie that I'm like, dude, I'm waiting to see this fucking thing.
Yeah.
Maybe the first one, maybe. Maybe
the Happy Meal toys are already out, and there's not even there wasn't even a release date for the movie yet.
Yeah,
like they're.
Well, no, what they did was when those the Happy Meal toys, those were originally for the Cyberverse cartoon, and they rebranded it just for Bumblebee.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, okay. Because there's characters in those Happy Meal toys that have nothing to do with Bumblebee.
Yeah, I noticed that.
So. Yeah, because it was originally for the cartoon that's out. Which I've been watching that one too. It's not so bad. It's cartoony.
Yeah.
But it's getting there. Anyway.
Oh, I got a Shockwave for you. I got a Happy Meal a couple
days
ago.
Oh.
Yeah, it's in there. Because I remember you said, oh, that's the one that I might get.
Oh, yeah.
I got you.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it for that. Oh, you wanted to touch on something also.
Speaking of the nostalgia train.
There you go. Yeah.
Online a couple of months ago. I'm not sure if we might have touched on this on a couple of podcasts.
I don't think we did.
Yeah. Hasbro re-released.
Exclusively.
Three main figures. They re-released the Big Devastator, six-piece Devastator from the original.
Right.
All these are from the original. Then they
Classic G1s. Yeah.
They released Hot Rod.
Right.
Cavalier Hot Rod.
Right.
And they also released Starscream.
Right.
Those sold out online within minutes.
Well, not only those, they also had the mini
bots. The four mini bots. Yep. Yeah, four mini bots.
Bumblebee, man. Come on. We're talking about it. It's all in here.
Yeah.
But it was only online.
Yeah, and they sold
unless
out. Like,
unless you're in Canada, you can find them in Canada or whatever.
And I told you off air, is like, they're going to show up in the stores.
Yeah.
You're like, bitch, you funny. Shut up. And then what happened?
They're in the stores. Yeah.
Exactly. About a week and a half ago,
yeah.
I had my hands on two of them.
Yeah.
Hot Rod.
Yeah.
I had two of them in my hand. But then my my budget complex kicked in.
Yeah.
We've had this story before.
Yeah.
There was a glitch early on. Some lucky some bitches got these $30 figures for $10 and change.
Right.
So if they got it for $10 and change, I'm not paying more than $10 and change.
I ain't no bitch.
So when when I rang them up at the counter and there were $32 and change, I was like, nah. And I was like, okay, I guess that's the end of it. I'm going to stop looking. And then you texted me yesterday.
Yesterday, yeah.
With?
You found Hot Rod. I found Starscream.
Yeah, you know what? I asked you. Are you going to get it? You never replied to me if you did it or not.
I almost did, but I had to walk away. The only reason,
$5 more. Starscream's $5
because
more.
I think the reason why is because besides being a reissue of the Starscream, it also comes a little gun Megatron that you can put in his hands. He can hold Megatron.
And I don't think he was in the original
one. No, he wasn't.
No. So that's like the only new thing.
That was from a Takara re-release a few years back that they just now put in this one. But, yeah, man, I was like, I was tempted. I was so tempted.
But, you know the knee breaker, right?
Hmm.
If I run into Devastator face-to-face at a Walmart.
$80. What are you going to say? I'm sorry. I cut you off.
Still.
I cut you off. What were you going to say?
If I'm in that frame of mind.
$74.99, I think.
Yeah.
I think it's the price.
Yeah, $74.99 plus taxes, $82.16. If I'm in the frame of mind, man.
And it's a payday.
It is a payday. And I notice that there's only two left. And then I check on eBay and see that I can probably get mine in half off if I sell the other one.
There's some hot demand for it, man.
Damn. And that's the one that I've never had. Yeah. I even bought the Combiner Wars Devastator to try to fill that hole, and then I sold it within like
you
2 weeks.
And I said,
the chase was better than the catch.
I told you. I said, you're going to be kicking yourself for that later.
Sure enough, the next day after it left my hands.
And every so often when you see mine.
I can't even look at yours in the eye. And it doesn't even have eyes. It's a big visor.
You're like, God damn you for keeping yours. But...
That's in a nutshell. That's our Transformers 86.
Yeah, I think so. I'm glad we went. It was a fun experience. We got a little extra freebies on it. So, I've seen it in every other iteration. I still have VHS. Okay, check this out. I have not the original pressing of it, but I do have an 80s release in VHS. I have it shrink wrapped and everything. Then I also have a Japanese version on VHS that has extra footage. It's like a few extra seconds of the Autobot battle, the big battle scene.
Mm-hmm.
I also have a UK version, which instead of on the opening credits where it has the actors coming up with the characters, it has a like a Star Wars like scroll going up, telling about the story up to now.
Yeah.
And the reason it's like that is because it's another country. They don't care who these actors are. They just, except for maybe Eric Idle, but and they don't care about these actors. So they replace those with the story, which it's a unique offering of that movie. I have that. I've had it on DVD, Blu-ray.
There's a 20th anniversary of Optimus Prime figure where it's like, I think it's a masterpiece figure where he's standing up in truck form and then like on the bottom mode, on the robot mode, and there's a DVD of it.
Yeah. I think I have it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that the movie's in there too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's that. And then I got the one.
I think there's another version where it's like the old school G1, but it's a big box and it even had like an Autobot symbol where you pressed it and it had like sound effects. And it was like
Oh, are you talking about the complete series?
Yeah, one it's a figure with the trailer and everything, but it also had the DVD in it.
Oh, I thought you're talking about
because at one point back in the day it was in clearance, and again another situation where I kicked myself so I didn't grab it.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like in three figures in fucking eBay.
So the 20th anniversary of it. That came out. I have that on DVD, and I upgraded this the new one that has came out on Blu-ray. But I kept that one because it has a shit ton more special features than what is on the
Doom. Actually, I might still have a DVD version. I remember the last movie that I got in the mail from the Blockbuster mailing service that I was in before they just shut down.
Right.
So I have the disc still in the Blockbuster envelope.
It's a start. I'll give you that.
We're losing people. We need to wrap this up. Let's go home.
All right.
I got a copy of Mega Man 11 that I need to.
The truth comes out. All right. So, thanks for tuning in this episode. Again, you can always find us on Facebook.com/PopCultureRewind. Do us a favor. Go to iTunes. Do a search for Pop Culture Rewind. Give us a rate and review. Tell us how we're doing. And
the review can be horrible. Just rate us 5 stars.
Yeah, that's all we ask for. But I think it's going to do it. So. Yeah. Until next time, always remember to pop your culture.
Top guys out. Yeah, it's been a while since we dusted that one off.